Good morning, KMCC. We're so glad you are here this morning. We invite you to stand and worship.
Sunday morning, I'm so glad you came to church, 'cause this room is full of testimonies, but there's one I'll tell you first. Goes something like, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
All the time, God is good. Let's sing out to Jesus.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
Let's sing his body.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone.
Oh, oh, oh. Sing, oh praise.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Guys, help us out. I want to invite you in this moment. Sing it out. Oh, praise.
Oh, praise. Of the Lord.
Just you guys. Just you guys.
Oh, praise the name of
us.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the one who was and is and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, is the Lord Almighty. One who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, is the Lord Almighty. The one who was and is to come. Lift your voices. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord,
is the Lord Almighty,
the one who was and is to come. Holy.
Good morning. As a worship team, we're going through a book right now called How to Worship a King. It's about all the different kinds of worship and the things to think about as we're worshiping. I was asked to share a little bit from the book, so welcome to our book club. Check your email for the snack schedule. But this week, the chapter we were talking about was about identity. And I think that's really important because I think oftentimes we think about worshiping God, and we're very much, it's a vertical thing. We're very much focused on God, which is the point, but I don't think we always think about what our role is in worshiping, because I think in order for God to be worshiped, we need to be able to worship Him. I know for myself, I think of myself very much as a doer. If I can get something from point A to point B, I feel good about myself. And one of the things this chapter talked about was how often we determine our worth or our value based on what we can do or our skills or our abilities. And the chapter talked about how more than wanting to use us, and that's something I pray all the time is God use me, God use me, is God wants to know us even more than He wants to use us. And something that the book, something that they separated between, which I thought was really, it's kind of scary to think about, but it was God used Pharaoh, but He knew Moses. And God used Saul, but He knew David. God can use people even if He doesn't have a relationship with them. And I think that was really something to think about and to pray about, is that more than what we can do to bring glory to God, we should be thinking about our own relationship with God. Do we know God? God knows us, but are we taking the time for us to know Him? And Brandon talked a little bit about this last week, but I do feel like the more that we dive into the Word, it's almost like a snowball. It makes you want to learn more and to learn more and to dive deeper. And oftentimes, I know for myself, I jump into things and I just start doing stuff without thinking about the why behind it. And so this chapter really reminded me, I almost thought about, I should switch my prayer from God use me to God know me, or God help me to know you. So, and I've encouraged you this morning to make that your prayer, that even more than wanting to be used by God, that we are striving to be known by God, and for us to know God and to dive deeper into His Word and think about our position as we're worshiping Him. So thinking about that, let's continue on with worship.
So let's keep singing this morning about how good God is and how good the name of Jesus is and how good our Savior is.
Your name for all my life.
There's just something about your name. Well, welcome, Camarillo Community Church. Isn't he worthy to be praised this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be here today. My name is Jacob Salas. I'm the associate preaching pastor here. And just being upfront, you know, and forthright with you guys, I am feeling a little bit under the weather. But as I was just backstage, kind of getting ready and thinking on my thoughts for today's message, I couldn't help, even with feeling a little bit physically down, I couldn't help but feeling excited for the Word of God this morning. And I hope that you guys are excited, because as we study in through our study through the book of Colossians, we are shining light on realities and truths about Jesus Christ that's not just philosophy and high thought and lofty thinking, but they are real realities that will affect your personal lives in such a deep and intimate way. And so excited to see what the Lord has for us today. And as we open up God's word and continue through our study today, I thought I would open up with an illustration. And to do that, I'd have to set up the painting a little bit, set up the context. I was in my young 20s and decided that I wanted to go on a trip to Lake Tahoe with my brothers. And so we had decided that we were going to leave during the nighttime. Our parents had gone up before us and had gotten the space that we were going to stay at. And we decided that we were going to leave in the evening time as soon as all of us got out of work, and that we were going to head up to Lake Tahoe. And so I remember going and picking up my brothers, and I remember I picked them up, and they were had a little bit too good of a time. They were at the bar earlier, and so I was like, okay, I guess I'm having to drive this entire way. And so I picked them up, and I drove the entire way to Lake Tahoe. And as I did, I remember driving through on that cold winter night, going through Tahoe, twists and turns, not really understanding what was in front of me. Going and seeing kind of images and hints of what the landscape was before me, but not really fully understanding it. See, I had never seen Lake Tahoe before, had no concept, had no context in which to understand what was in front of me. And so all I saw was road and the glimpses of trees. And I went there and, you know, parked my car, got into the room and fell asleep. And it wasn't until I woke up the next day to where I had discovered that what I was driving through was anything than just a regular mountain road, but it was a beautiful landscape in the Sierra Nevadas with snow-peaked mountains and with beautiful trees and forest and a lake that was so clear and beautiful. It just brought a sense of awe and worship into my heart. That before, when I was driving in the dark, there was no appreciation for the landscape that laid before me. There was no context, no understanding of what was before me. And yet when the light came through and shone, I was able to see my surroundings and was able to see the beauty and all of the amazing things that God had created before me. And I was able to see those things in their proper light. And the reason why I bring up this story this morning is because as we continue our study through the book of Colossians, I want you guys to understand that this text is the light of the book that illuminates all of the rest of the passages. That this text, the text that we are going to read today, I would say is the main point of the book of Colossians. It is the lens through which we look at the entire rest of the book, and this should inform the way that we receive doctrine, the way that we hear about Paul's refutations of false teachings in the future, and in the future of this book, that we should look at this book through the lens of the passage that I'm about to read. That all of the book of Colossians exists to lift up Jesus high. That's why we're calling our study through the book of Colossians, All Hail King Jesus. It presents a high theology, a high view of who Christ is. And as we continue in through our study of the book of Colossians, some of you guys might ask me and say, well, Jacob, why do I need a high theology? Why do I need to look at Jesus and view of, you know, some of this more deep theological content and understand, some of the deeper truths of the Bible? Why do I need to learn all these things? Wouldn't my life just be the same? Would it, I go to church, I try to read my Bible every day, and you know, why do I need to understand Jesus with greater depth, with greater understanding, to see him in his proper light? Why does high theology matter? Why does viewing Jesus properly matter? I want to propose that question to you. It's our overarching question for the day. Why does a high theology of Christ matter? Why does looking at Jesus and seeing him in all of his glory and all of his majesty, what does that mean for my life? This is all just philosophical talk left to the scholars, left to the philosophers, left to those who are smarter than me. Why should this matter in my life? And my challenge, my admonition to you, church, is that a high theology of Christ is not for just the theologians and not just for the philosophers and not just for the scholars, but it is for you, okay? A high theology of Christ is not just for those who are academically inclined, but it's for you, in that there is great value if you would dive into the scriptures and not merely just read for information, but read to understand this man named Jesus Christ, that there is very great impact that it could have in your life. And so why does a high theology of Christ matter, if we can put it up there on the screen? Well, firstly, we're going to see it's because I find true purpose when I see God for who he is. That I find true purpose in life when I see God for who he is. When I have a proper understanding of who God is, when I have a correct theology, when I have an understanding of the God of this universe, and I begin to understand who he is, what he does, what he likes, what he dislikes, his characteristics, when I begin to understand those things about the God of this universe, what I find is that it's not just merely information that I could write down on some sort of academic paper, but rather it's purpose. It gives me a sense of purpose, a reason to live. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you guys this right now, and it sounds like a bold claim, but it is more true than I could ever state, that when you come to know Jesus Christ, that is the only time that you could understand your real purpose in life. Understanding your real purpose only comes through knowing Jesus. And so as we dive into this text, we're going to go ahead and read verses 15 through 18. I'd like to invite you guys, if you guys have a print Bible, you can open up with me. If not, we're going to have it up on the screen. But Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 15 through 18. And I want you guys to read this, understanding that this is going to give light to the rest of the book. And so we see this here, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, it says this. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So why does a high theology of Christ matter? Well, because we find purpose when we see God for who he truly is. And so as we open up our text here today, Paul starts off with a very lofty claim about Jesus Christ. And I love this because there's a lot of academics, a lot of scholars out there who would say that a worship of Jesus as God didn't come about until later years, and people just saw Jesus as a good teacher, as a prophet, as a man of God, and then later on people began to worship him as God. And we can see that as anything that couldn't be further from the truth as we consider the writings of the early apostles. Right? That Paul says it very clearly here, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. I want you guys to understand something right here. That the Bible is telling us that if we look at Jesus Christ, that if we were to take the person and the character of Jesus and to take a good look at it, what we would find is the very image of God. Okay? That's a far cry from some of our what we've heard about Jesus, of him just merely being a teacher, a religious leader, but he is actually God in the flesh. that Jesus was more than just a man, but that he was God, the same God that crafted the universe, the same God that made all of the heavens and all the earth, all the things that you see, and even the things that you don't see, that all of that divine power, all of that divinity was bound up into one person, and his name was Jesus Christ. He's the very image of God. That Hebrews puts it this way, that he is the imprint of the character or nature of God, his radiance, the very image that we could, like if you were to go snap a photograph of who God is, what you would find when you hit that button, when you snap that picture, what you would find is an image of Jesus Christ. That he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, there's a couple of things to note here. Because there is a lot of misunderstanding about this scripture. And so as we see here that as Paul is lifting up Jesus high, as he's worshiping him and using language that puts Jesus up on a very high pedestal, that there are people that would come and take a look at this passage and they would draw conclusions that are not biblical. I want you guys to note one right here. In verse 15, it says that he is the firstborn of all creation. And so some people, and not to to throw shade, but I do want to highlight false doctrine for what it is, but there are some people, Jehovah's Witness, for example, that would say that Jesus is not divine in the same way that God the Father is divine. That Jesus is not God in full divinity, that he carries divine aspects, that he is a sort of lesser God, but he's not God in the same way that God the Father is, because he is the firstborn of all creation. That they would say that Jesus is actually the very first thing that was ever created. And you might look at this passage and you might say, well, that's kind of what it says, right? That Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Does that mean that he's the first created thing? That Jesus, in fact, does have a beginning? That the Son of God has a beginning and is not eternal with the Father? To which I would say no, right? And so we got to understand what the scriptures are doing here. I want you guys to look at a verse in the book of Psalms, chapter 89, verse 27. The Word of God reads like this. And it says, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Okay? I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. And so if we're to understand this from a biblical perspective, we know that Paul can't mean that Jesus is the very first created thing, because then that would make him less than God. And we know that Paul in 1 Timothy, that he calls Jesus our God and Savior. Right, he goes and he assigns divinity to Jesus Christ. So we know that it can't mean that. And yet right here it says firstborn of all creation. This only makes sense if you were to understand this through the lens of an ancient Jewish thinker. Right? And the way that we'd understand this is that firstborn doesn't mean the first created thing, but rather he is above all creation. To say that you are the firstborn, to say you are the firstborn means that you are the head of it. That you're on top, you are the ruler, that you have authority over it. And in those days and ages, there was a sort of privilege and authority that came with being a firstborn, right? That like when you were the firstborn son of a high-class family, that there was authority and power that came along with it. And what the Bible is saying here is that in that same way that a prince is born and has authority over his father's kingdom, in that same way, Jesus, the Son of God, has authority over all creation. And what an amazing king that we serve. That the man, Jesus Christ, being more than just a man, but being God in the flesh, has authority and power over all of the universe. Okay, and I want you guys to see this because it paints an even bigger, greater image. It says, for by him all things were created. Okay, and this is a truth in scripture that we see time and time again, right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we understand that to be Jesus, right? Because in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? But then it also says that everything was made through this Word. Everything was made through Jesus Christ, and everything that was made was made by him, and there was not a thing that came into being, not a single atom in your body who, if you were to look at the tag on it, if you were to look at the manufacturer tag, it would say made by Jesus. everything would say made by Jesus, right? And so it says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. That everything was created by Jesus. I want you guys to consider something really quick. I want you guys to consider that when you look around right now, that we live in a material world, right? It's very easy to see. It's much more easy to feel. Like if you were to walk into me, you're like, wow, that's a big guy, right? Like I'm trying to get less big. And there's a weight to him. There's a matter, a substance to him. And I can understand that. But the Bible reveals a truth to us that's so mind-blowing. It says that when you look at this world and you look at the universe, and the universe is big, it's crazy expansive, the Bible reveals to us that there is even more to this universe than what you see. That beyond the physical world, that there is a spiritual reality. That there is a spiritual reality to this universe and to this world. And so whether you're considering the spiritual realities of this universe or you're considering the physical realities of this universe, everything still preaches the same message. Everything still sings to the same tune. It's all saying Jesus is King. He is Lord. He is the God of all creation. He made everything. All things for him exist. He created everything, and for him everything exists. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and on all things, and in him all things hold together. So you see that Jesus is the origin of everything that you see, okay? And then it says that he is the sustainer. He holds everything together, right? You might look at an atom and you might say to yourself, wow, the weak and strong nuclear forces hold that atom together, and as well as gravity and electromagnetism. And you might be true to a certain extent to say that, but it would be even more true to say that Jesus holds that atom together. And you might say to yourself, well, this belt is holding my pants up above my waist and keeping it from falling down, and that might be true to an extent, but an even more true thing to say is that Jesus is keeping my pants from falling down, that he is the sustainer of all things. I know it's kind of a funny illustration, but it's true, that Jesus is the sustainer of all things, that he holds all things together, that there is not, I want you guys to understand this, that there is not a single subatomic particle in this entire universe that doesn't move according to the will and purpose of God. That he holds all things, he holds all things together, everything is done by him, he keeps it running, right? And all things are done for him. Do you understand this? That not only is he the origin, not only is he the origin of all things, not only is he the sustainer of all things, but he is the purpose of all things. Do you guys hear that? That he is the purpose of all things. You know, there's a very, very, very big, you know, kind of philosophical question that everybody asks themselves when they get to a certain age, right? It might have came to you at 13 or maybe 25 or, you know, or maybe some of you guys later in your 40s or 50s. But everybody one day will ask themselves, why am I here? So there's nothing more human than that question right there. Why am I here? What's my purpose? What am I doing? Some of you guys might go through a midlife crisis and might buy yourself a Corvette in order to answer that question. Why am I here? Maybe I'm here to be a really cool guy that everybody looks up to. Let me go ahead and buy a Corvette. Some of you guys might go and pour everything into a job and into a career and try to gain as many accolades and accomplishments for yourself as you possibly can in response and in answer to that question of why am I here? But if we were to dig down deep, if we were to truly understand what that question is asking, the only rational conclusion that you could come to if you believe in the biblical Jesus is I'm here for Jesus Christ. It's my purpose in life. My purpose is to worship and praise Jesus Christ. Like I love the image that Jesus gives right there. They're going before Jesus and they're telling him, hey, why don't you tell those kids to stop, right? Like, you know, and Jesus says, if I don't permit these to worship me, even the rocks would cry out, right? that everything in all of creation sings the glory and goodness and power of God. They all sing to the same tune. That if you go look at those mountains outside when you exit this church, you know what they're singing? They're singing, glory be the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to the name of Jesus Christ. If you go look at that ocean and you were to see the beautiful waves that it makes, you know the tune that it's singing? All praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. That everything in all of creation is all singing to the same tune. It's all saying, God, you are great. God, you are lifted high. God, you are above everything else. That is the tune of every of all creation. It all exists to lift Jesus high. Every single one of you guys are a part of that story. I love what Ty was saying during the worship service, right? Because he talked about that even people like Pharaoh, who were obstinate, who did not know Jesus, did not know God in a personal way, and even actively opposed the work of God, that even Pharaoh had his part to play in telling the story of God's glory and power. You see this in Romans 9, that there's some vessels for honor and some vessels for wrath and dishonor, right? That no matter where you are in life, if you choose to believe in Jesus or not, your life is going to sing the praises of God. Jesus, understand that for a second. So the question is, are you going to do it with a willing heart? Because every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. The question is, are you going to do it with a willing heart? Are you going to do it with a heart that says, God, I see you for all of your glory and I love you and I worship you? Or are you going to be obstinate like Pharaoh and say, my life brings you glory, but I don't know if I quite love you and I don't know if I quite worship you? All of creation exists to glorify God. The Bible says that through creation itself, his eternal power and his Godhead are made easily known, that we can see how great and amazing God is simply through looking at the created universe. And he's the head of all things. He's the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. Then everything he might be preeminent. That Jesus is above all things. And so we see as Paul is writing to the Colossian church, and we're soon going to see here, that Paul is going to begin to identify some wrong teachings about Jesus and about Christianity, but he wants to start off from this point right here, that Jesus is the Most High God. And he's going to start right here, and he's going to build from here. But I want you guys to understand that we're laying down a foundation. We're understanding Jesus for who he is. He is not only the creator of all things, but he is Lord of all things, and he is the reason for which all things exist. And so why does a high theology of Christ matter? Why does a high theology of Christ matter? Well, firstly, we found that we find true purpose when we see God for who he truly is. Then secondly, we are going to see that I find hope when I see what he's done for me. So why does a high theology of Christ matter? Well, I find real hope when I see what he's done for me. When I consider this God who is Lord over all, creator of all the universe, when I consider him, and all that he is, and I realize what he has done for me, that gives me real hope. The sort of hope that I can walk into any situation and say to myself, hey, things might be going bad, but my hope is not rooted in my circumstances and the things that are going on around me. My hope is rooted in something so much more deep. I want you guys to see this here as we turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 19. The word of God reads like this. It says, for in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. For in Jesus Christ, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So I guess to consider this, right? We start off once again with theology right here. A high view of who Jesus Christ is. Not merely a man, but fully God, divine. Not like us. Holy, high and lifted up. Great and mighty, without fault or mistake. All power belonging to him, omniscient, knowing all things. That this God, right, came down in human flesh, lived a perfect life, that he ate like us, that he talked like us, that he breathed the same air that you're breathing. I want you guys to consider this for a second, right? The very same oxygen that you're breathing could have 2,000 years ago been in ancient Palestine, and you could very well be breathing the same air that Jesus breathed, right? That the very same earth that Jesus walked on, that you guys are walking on, that very same earth, that Jesus came down and became like us. And this is such a crazy concept when you consider everything that we just talked up until this point. When you consider that Jesus, being the Most High God, who created everything, who created all the heavens and all the earth, and I don't know if you guys realize how big of a claim that is, right? Because we live in a pretty big planet. Like if I were to go right now, and there was a road that was able to connect me all the way around the earth, and I was able to walk around the entire circumference of the earth, and I would walk 10 miles every single day, you know how long it would take me to run, to walk that entire circumference of the earth? It'd take me nearly 7 years, 6.8 years to be exact. You know, and the earth in the grand scheme of things isn't as big as we might think it is. Because if I were to go to the sun, right, I would obviously wouldn't walk, I would take a car. Right, and if I were to go 65 miles per hour, which is the speed limit you should drive, and if you were to drive 65 miles per hour without stopping, that it would take you 160 years to get to the sun. Driving 65 miles an hour, and if there was a straight shot to the sun, a road that you can take, and you didn't stop for anything until you got to the sun, it would take you 160 years, and all of a sudden the earth seems kind of small. And the solar system seems kind of big. But if you were to consider how small the solar system is in comparison to the expanse of the galaxy in which it exists, right? Like the galaxy, the Milky Way, right, is 100,000 light years in length, meaning that going at the speed of light, traveling 186,000 miles per second, which is enough to take you around the world 7.5 times every single second. That's how quick that is, right? It would take you 100,000 years to get from one end of the Milky Way to the other. And that the Milky Way is small in comparison when you consider the observable universe, right? That there is an enormity and vastness to this universe that we'll never fully comprehend, and it shows how great and mighty Jesus is. And when you consider this great and mighty God, consider how he bowed himself and laid himself low for your sake. I want you guys to understand this for a second. The Bible says that to have this mind which is available to you in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, the equality of God, something not to be grasped to, but he emptied himself. He did that for you, the God of this universe. All of that, the observable universe, in the palm of his hand, created all of it. The Bible says that he breathed stars out of his nostrils, that's how easy creation was for him. That he looked down at this tiny blue planet, insignificant in every single way, right, other than life existing on it, in the vast expanse of the universe, and he took a look down, and he saw you, and he said, that is somebody worth dying for. And so this great God paid a great cost in order to purchase your reconciliation. I want to take a little bit of time here because this truth is so key to your Christian walk. Okay, I want you, some of you guys may have heard this before, but I'm preaching to the person in this room who may not have heard this truth, that you were made to know Jesus Christ, that you were made with a purpose, that you were made to know God, and yet you cannot know him and you cannot approach him because God can't permit anything imperfect to come before him, okay? How many of you guys here are perfect in this room? Anybody here never make a mistake before? Okay, I'm glad to see that we have a lot of truthful people here in this building. And the Bible says that God is so great, and he's so amazing in all of the ways that we just said, right? But also God is great and amazing in his morality, meaning that if you were to even step into the presence of God, that you can't do it unless you were perfect. That this is how great and amazing God is. And God, seeing that you, person who fails on a regular basis, person who is weak in every single way, though you sometimes pretend like you're not, Though sometimes you pretend like you're strong and can do things on your own, that you being weak in every way, God saw that weakness and that he didn't say to himself, forget about it, right? It's all right. I'm just going to sit here enthroned in heaven with my angelic host all singing worship to me, and I'm just going to ignore what's going on down there. But Jesus came, and he took the form of a man, came and lived a perfect life so that you didn't have to, died on the cross, took every single sin and failure mistake, nailed it to the cross with him, died and ascended, rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, and he did this so that you can have hope. So that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you say, God, I believe in you and I trust in the work that you did on the cross for me, that one day that you will ascend into heaven just like Jesus ascended in your resurrected body and you will be with God. And that this hope isn't purchased with something that is unreliable. The Bible says that your reconciliation wasn't bought with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. That if we consider how great and amazing this God is, I want you guys to understand that if he is so great and amazing, if he's so powerful to create the expanse of the universe and to create everything seen and unseen, to rule and to have authority and to sustain everything, that this God is able to bring you into salvation. That this God is able to bring you into heaven. And he did. He paid the cost. He did the work. So that you can have a hope in Jesus Christ. That you can know him, that you can not just know of him, not just know that a creator exists, but you can know him in a deep and personal and intimate way. So why does high theology of Christ matter? It's because I find purpose. I find why I was made. I exist to glorify Jesus. I find hope. That in Christ Jesus, he gives me hope for a glorious future in him. Which brings us to our big idea, that when Christ is supreme, everything else finds its proper place. And when Christ is supreme in our lives, everything else finds its proper place. When I understand that Jesus is Lord over everything, That it's not by my own efforts, it's not by my own strength, but it's all by Jesus Christ who keeps and sustains everything. All of a sudden, life becomes easier and everything finds its proper place. See, I think some of us are like Jacob Salas in his early 20s. You're driving through an old mountain road, dark and dim, not knowing what you are staring at. Life feels like you don't quite seem to land on anything that sticks. You've searched for purpose here and you've searched for hope there. That you've went to all of these different things. You tried accomplishments. You tried having a family. You tried doing things that made deep impact in the community around you. And yes, they satisfied for a moment, but you haven't fully found the thing that you were looking for. And that this is a quest that God has given every single one of us. That if you feel that way today, no, it's because God put that desire in you. The Bible says that he's written eternity into the hearts of men. That you were born with a desire for something greater. That you were born with all of these lofty ambitions for life because you desire greatness. And you thought, I can achieve that desire for greatness by doing something great myself, not knowing that it wasn't for doing something great. That desire wasn't put in you so that you could do something great, but so that you could worship a God who is great. So that you could worship Jesus. So that you could come to a knowing and loving relationship with the Lord of all of this universe. And that is why you are made today, man, woman, child in this room. Know that you are made to know Jesus Christ and to worship him. And that when you understand this truth, that just like when I was driving through that mountain road and everything seemed dark and dim, when the light of Jesus shines and it illuminates the landscape, you are going to find beauty and purpose and hope in life in a way that you never understood before, that you were made to love and worship Jesus. So church, as we end this service, my question to you is, do you know him? Do you know this God? Have you put your trust and your hope in him? Do you know him in a real, personal, and intimate way? my invitation to, for you today, right, is that if you don't know Jesus Christ, that today could be your day. Today could be your day to say, God, I'm here. I'm ready. I heard everything the preacher man said, and I'm ready to give my life to you. I'm ready to find real purpose and to find real hope in my life. I'm ready to give my life to you. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, let's worship and praise this Most High King, this King for whom we're created. So Lord, we just worship you in this room. God, we recognize that you are great and mighty, but you are not so great and mighty that you are distant and aloof. No, rather you are so good and you are so awesome that you came down in the likeness of man and you died for our sake so that we could come into a knowing relationship with you and that we could lift you up high. So Lord, I pray for every single man, woman, and child in this room today that they would come to an understanding of who you are. And when they see you for who you are, that you would illuminate the darkness of their lives and that they would see for why they were made. I was made to worship a king, the one true King of Kings, the King Jesus Christ. Amen.
All hail, all hail King Jesus.
Jesus, you're the center.
nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Lift it up, church, be the center. Jesus, be the center of it all. And Jesus, be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Church, you know the song. Sing it with me.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sing it out. And sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul, and for the first time I had hope. So, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has won. Tomb of sin, and you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out. Thank you.
Man, what an awesome day today. Thank you, Jacob. You know, Jesus died on the cross that we may have life in him, that we could live. And if you've decided to follow Jesus, if you took Jacob's challenge to turn your life over to him and you're ready to surrender, would you just let us know that? I think that's a good next step. We have prayer counselors available at the end of the service up front here. You can pray for any reason, but if you decided to follow Jesus, would you just come up and let them know? Alternatively, you can go to the tent on the patio, or you can go online to campcc.net and click next steps if you're watching us online, so that we can follow up with you and just answer any questions you have. We want to be part of this walk towards Christ with you. Okay. We're going to receive our offering. It's one of the ways we worship the Lord. There's three ways to participate in that. And whether you give online at campcc.net, click and give, or use the offering box or text to give, thank you for your generosity to our church. One way this church is generous is three or four times a year, we just pick something to bless that's outside of our walls. And this time it's the Food Pantry's Children. We're doing an initiative trying to gather Christmas gifts. I know it's August. There's a reason we're doing it now. But we're trying to gather the Christmas gifts that when we do our distribution in December, the parents who can't afford food, you can imagine being a child in that family, there's not going to be a lot of Christmas gifts. So we're trying to supplement that. And I've heard that we've got about half the tags taken that we need. So if you haven't grabbed a tag or you have the capacity to do one more, I encourage you on the right side of the lobby to grab a Christmas tag. Go get a gift for a kid. I have it on good authority that Target sells toys all year round, so you can get them in August. And bring it back any Sunday in August, and we're going to get ready to go for that when it comes. Okay. Would you guys all please stand for the send-off?
Hi, my name is Megan, and I'm one of the leaders here at KMCC, one of the worship leaders. I just wanted to reiterate what Pastor Kenny said. If you're new here, we are super excited that you got to be here and just worship with us and see what a church gathering looks like. And we hope that you can get more connected with us and just grow in that relationship with Christ, because it is so, so sweet. So if you don't know already, go say hi to our friends outside at the tent, or you can go to all the online stuff. If this is your home church and you've been here, please make it a point to say hi to someone new, or stick around and build those relationships, build those conversations so that we can feel even more like a community and a family. We have coffee and donuts outside. Say hi to someone new and have a great week.
Camarillo. Hi, my name is Darius.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth.
Hi, my name is Henry.
And we are part of the KMCC
High School Ministry.
If you are a guest today, welcome. Check out the new to KMCC tent on the patio to receive a $5 Starbucks gift card on us.
If it's your second time, we're so glad to have you back. Make sure you pick up your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent as well.
Or if you're watching online, go to kmcc.net/next steps to sign up.
If there's anything you need, please let us know. A Bible, have questions about KMCC, or today you decided to follow Jesus, head over to the tent and let us celebrate with you. We are so glad you're here.
The month of August, stop the slave toy drive. For the month of August, we will be collecting toys to distribute to our food pantry kids in December. Bring a brand new unwrapped toy on any Sunday in August to the table on the patio. If you need some toy ideas, we have a wish list available, or go to campcc.net/impact for more info. August 22nd, men's breakfast, 8 to 10 a.m. Gentlemen, join us for some great food, fellowship, and an encouraging message. $15, sign up at campcc.net/events, or connect with Brandon at campcc.net.
Fall growth group signups. Signups begin August 23rd and launch the week of September 15th. This is a safe place to connect, share, pray, and study the Word of God together in just an 8-week commitment. If you are newer to KMCC, try it out. There are a variety of choices from sermon-based to topical groups and even classes you can sign up for, including a marriage class, parenting class, and new believers study. Sign up for a group and childcare if needed at campcc.net/growthgroups or email lisa@campcc.net.
Sunday, August 30th, Next Steps membership class, 12:30 to 2 p.m. One-time class to become a member of KMCC. Find out what it means to be a member, meet the staff, Q&A, and enjoy free lunch. Childcare is available. Sign up before August 23rd at campcc.net/membership. For more info, connect with Jacob at campcc.net. If you need prayer, we have our prayer team up front willing to pray for you at the conclusion of the gathering. Again, we are so glad that you came here today.
Make sure you are following us on our socials.
And to stay in the loop of what is going on, or for more info on any of these events, go to campcc.net.